Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. It's really good to be back here another Saturday evening. We give God thanks and praise for His many blessings in our lives. He has kept us by His mighty power. And we are here again to impart the good news of salvation. Jesus Christ came, He died, He rose again, He lives forevermore. Wherever we go, we should be preaching and teaching the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we should do it with such joy and honor in His great name, because He chose us. We didn't choose Him, but He chose us and ordained us to go and to bear fruit, and that our fruit should remain. And we pray that we will have some fruit as we continue to glean from God's word. We will be fruit bearers. Praise God. We are continuing in the epistles of Peter, and we are in the first epistle, and we are in chapter 2. So we're going to continue in chapter 2 this week. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We just thank you for your great love towards us. Your word said, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. Thank you, O God, that your love for us is unconditional. Your love for us, O God, is sacrificial. Thank you that your love for us is pure. O God, your love is from everlasting to everlasting. So we thank you for this privilege to come again to hear your word. O God, we pray that we will not become forgetful hearers, but we will be doers of your word. Help us, O God, almighty Lord Jesus, to lean on you. O God, for you are our support. So we just thank you right now for your word, O God, which brings life. It brings light. O God, almighty, it lights our path, that we will not stumble. O God, we thank you today, O God, that our steps are being ordered by your word. O God, and we look to you by faith, trusting in you. For you are God, and your words are always reliable. O God, your words are always faithful. So we look to you by faith, trusting in you this evening. And we look to you for direction, O God. We lean not on our own understanding, but we lean on you, Jesus, who is our rock, our fortress, our strong deliverer. Thank you again for this privilege to bring forth your word. And may your people, O God, almighty hearts be blessed this evening as we continue, O God, to glean from your word. We thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Last week we stopped at verse 11 in 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to continue this evening. Verse 11 said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So as we were saying last week, that Peter was speaking to the saints with such love and tenderness. He addressed them as dearly beloved. He begged them to stay away from fleshly desires that war against their souls. The old desire is constantly fighting against the new desires brought forth by the Spirit. We are now a new creation in Christ Jesus once we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. But there's a constant battle going on, people of God, in the minds of God's people. There's a constant battle going on with the spirit and the flesh. The old nature wants to take over. The new nature should be ruling in the hearts of God's people. But there's a battle going on with that old unrenewed mindset. And the word of God tells us in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, he said, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So there is always a war. That lust there means they lust against, they war against each other. There's always a war going on, a spiritual war where the old nature wants to take over. But the new nature and the old nature are always fighting. But the new nature is the winner, people of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we have to remember that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We want to walk in the new life. We do not want to allow that old and renewed mind to take over so that we behave in ways that are contrary to the will of God. We don't want that to be happening in our lives, people of God. We want to be living life that is a life that is Christ-like in every area, bringing honor and glory to the name of Christ. Peter also reminded the brethren that they were strangers and pilgrims. Strangers meaning that they do not belong to this world and to its system that is set up. We do not want to be in partnership with the world, people of God. 1 John 2:15 reminds us that we should love not the world nor the things that are in the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Pilgrim means that this world is not our home. We are just passing through this world, people of God. Our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Philippians 3:20. Our citizenship is in heaven, from where also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to understand that we are just sojourners here. We are just pilgrims here, and we are strangers in this unfriendly world. The world is not going to be friendly with us. The world hates Jesus. They also will hate us. So let us go forth knowing who we are, and help us not to form any alliance with this world system, but to go forth in the name of Jesus, knowing that he is with us and he will take care of us no matter what comes. Verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify your Father, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter was encouraging the believers to conduct themselves honestly among the unsaved. When he speaks of Gentiles there, that word is used in that context as unsaved. So among the unsaved people, the worldly people, we have to conduct ourselves honestly so that even if they speak ill against us, they cannot help but see the continuous good works in the lives of God's people and come to glorify or come to honor God. When conviction comes to their hearts, people of God, conviction will come to their heart if we continue constantly live a life that honors and pleases God. We want to be people of God who will conduct ourselves in such a way that the world will have to stop and look and to know that there is something different about this individual. We want to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to honor him with our lives. We don't want just to be speaking about him, but we want to be living that life, showing good deeds, doing good deeds, and continuously doing good so that others will come to know Jesus and glorify his name. Conviction will come to the hearts of unbelievers when they start to see Christ alive in our lives, alive in us, actively living and working in us. So we want to surrender all to Jesus. We want to give him our all. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Peter was saying, submit yourself. Peter was reminding the saints to submit or to be voluntarily yielded or in subjection to every human institution for Christ's sake. You're doing this for Christ's sake, whether it be unto the king who is reigning. So this was very hard at this time for the Jewish people and for all believers in the time that Peter wrote this epistle. But these kings that were reigning were not good kings. They were not pleasant. It wasn't easy to submit to these kings. They were against Christ. They were fighting against God's people. So Peter was telling them to submit to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, just for the name of Jesus Christ. People of God, we have to understand, when we decide to really submit to certain ordinances, it's only because of the Lord's sake, for his name's sake. So Peter was reminding them that it's because of the Lord's sake. Verse 14, he said, "Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of them that do good." So they were also to submit to governors or to those that are working for the governors to punish the deeds of evildoers or to honor or reward those that do good. So even those who are in authority, they are sent to punish the deeds of evildoer. But if God's people continue to do good, surely they are also going to get reward. That's what Peter was saying. Some will come to honor or reward those that are doing good. So constantly stay submitted. Stay in subjection to those that are in authority. Not to do their evil deeds. What he was saying really is not really to do their evil deeds. So it comes to a point, but whatever they are telling you to do and it's completely contrary to the will of God, then you have to say no. So that is why so many of those Christians in those days, they were martyred because they were told to say Caesar is Lord. Caesar is no Lord, so they wouldn't do it. And many of them were martyred. They were martyred because they refused to call anyone else Lord. Jesus Christ alone is Lord. So if we stand for what is right, we are also going to be persecuted, people of God. But Peter was calling on the saints here, and the word of God is telling us today that we're to submit to those that are in authority. We must not be saying we're not doing this or that because we were told that we should do it. But no, we should submit. But if it is something that is against the will of God, contrary to what God says that we are to do, we have to stand and stand up for what is right, people of God. Verse 15 said, "For it is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." It is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So when we continue to do good, people of God, very soon those who were accusing us will have to stop. They will become silent and they will come to understand that what we are doing is right. So let us not stop from doing good. Whatever is going on, let us continue to do what is right and we will be vindicated. For God promises that vengeance is mine, I will repay. So let us continue to do the will of God no matter what the circumstances are. Verse 16 said, "As free and not using our freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." So Peter was reminding the brethren of their freedom in Christ, but not to use this freedom as an excuse for any evil deed that they may commit. But their action should be becoming of a servant of God. We should reflect Christ in everything that we do, people of God. We should reflect Christ in everything that we do. His word in verse 17, 1 Peter 2:17 said, "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." Honor all men, people of God. Think of it. We have to show honor to all men. When we're going to refer to James 2:1-9. The word of God says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, your assembly, a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here unto my footstool. Sit here unto my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if verse 9 said, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. You are convicted of the law as transgressors. So we don't want to be partial. We want to show honor to all men. We don't want when some come and they come in their nice clothing and they're looking good and we put them in the such high place to sit, and somebody else come who might not dress so well and we put them in a little corner on your footstool to sit. We don't want to be like that, as James was saying. We want to show honor to all men. So let us respect one another. Love the brotherhood. Love one another as children of God. Fear God. Show reverence for God and honor the King. So Peter was reminding the saints to show honor and respect to all people. Love the brethren in Christ. Reverence God. Honor the King. The King reigning at that time when Peter wrote this epistle was the wicked King Nero. Yet Peter encouraged the believers to show respect for his office. Show respect for his office as the King. So we have to remember, show respect for his office as the King. You might not really want to think that, you should be doing this, because you say this man is so wicked, but you want to listen to the word of God and to obey it. We want to respect the office of those, even though they might be not the type of person that you would want to show respect to. But God is saying to us that remember the office. We have to show respect because of the office that they hold. Verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So he was saying servants, at that time there were a lot of slaves. So he says, slaves, be subject to your masters with all fear, with all respect. Not only for those that are good and gentle to you, but also to those that are harsh. They might be treating you harshly, but still show respect to them. Verse 19 said, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. This response to suffering, people of God, brings honor to God. When we endure, even though we are treated wrongfully, we honor God. Let us remember God's word as we go through trials and endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let us remember that we have to respond like Jesus responded. Verse 20 of 1 Peter chapter 2. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Peter was saying that there is no honor for those who are chastised for their wrongdoings, even if they endure it. But when you do well and suffer for it, he was saying, and you endure the suffering, this is acceptable with God. When you do well and you are suffering for your well-doing, this is acceptable with God. Verse 21 said, verse 21 of 1 Peter 2, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Peter was saying, we as believers in Christ are called to suffer. Believers in Christ are called to suffer. Also because Christ suffered for us. leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. Christ left an example for us. He suffered for us, people of God. And he suffered and he did not fight back. He suffered and died for us, leaving us an example that we are also going to go through suffering as well. But in all of what we are going through, people of God, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We want to follow in his footsteps. We want to do what is pleasing in his sight. The word of God said in verse 22 of 1 Peter 2, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus did not sin. Jesus is the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He neither sinned, neither was there deceit in his mouth. There was no deception in him. He is the only true God, the true and living God. He is the only true God-man. He walked here on earth sinless, and he came and he died for us. He took our place. And because of that, you and I today can have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 23 said, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So Peter was saying, when they insulted Jesus, he did not insult them back. When he was put under so much suffering and pain, he did not threaten them, but he placed himself completely in the hands of the Father, who is the righteous judge. People of God, we want to put ourselves completely in the hands of God. And let us not fight back. When we are insulted, let us not insult back. Let us come to understand that Jesus Christ is the one who fights for us. He is the mighty warrior. He takes care of his people. We can't fight spiritual battles. Spiritual battles are being fought by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he fought the battle already and he won. He is a victorious general. So we serve the victorious king. So we are more than victors through him. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And because of that, we go forth with confidence. We go forth and be able to suffer hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 24 said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. People of God, Peter was saying that Jesus bore our sin in his own body on the cross. He became our sin bearer, our substitute, people of God. The penalty for our sin was death. Jesus died in our place so that we can have life eternal by putting our trust in who he is and what he has done for us. People of God, once we have put our trust in Jesus, we are dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. But we have to know that we are dead to sin. We have to understand that we shouldn't respond to sin anymore. So Paul made it so clear in Romans 6, verse 10 and 11. It says, for in that he died, speaking of Christ, in that he died unto sin once. So once and for all, he paid that sin debt. But in that he liveth unto God. And likewise, he was saying in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. See yourself as being dead to sin, people of God. We have to see ourselves as being dead to sin. We don't respond to this sin nature anymore. But we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we are no more in sin. We don't respond to the sin nature anymore. But we are alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. He made us alive. So we see here Jesus paid it all for us. And all to him we owe. So once we have put our trust in Jesus, we are dead to sin and alive unto righteousness by the the wounds Jesus suffered, we attain healing. By the wounds he suffered, we attain healing, people of God. And we, the last verse in 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, for ye were as sheep gone astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So Peter was saying that the believers were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of their souls. They are now returned unto the shepherd, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, and the overseer of their souls. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 53:6. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the word of God reminds us that Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, he is the one who laid down his life for us. He said in his word that no one took his life from him, but he laid it down for us. And as Isaiah prophesied so many years ago before Christ came, that all we like sheep. So Peter was just reminding them that they were like sheep that have gone astray, have turned to their own ways. But Christ has taken on our sin, our shame, our iniquity, everything that was against us. And he bore it on the cross for us. So we have to give him glory, give him praise, give him honor. For he has done great things. We are glad. He died that we might be forgiven. He died that we might be reconciled to our Father. And because of that, we have returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We bless God for his word this evening. And as we come to this end of the second chapter of Peter, we pray that you have gleaned from this word. And we pray that we will come to understand that we are called to live godly and also to bear suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are called to live a life that is exemplary and bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you all for listening this evening. And we will continue next week in the epistle of 1 Peter. We will continue in chapter 3 next week. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love, for your new mercies, for your grace which you have allocated to us. Thank you for your words that have come through to us this evening. Thank you for reminding us of what Christ has done at the cross for us. And because of what he has done, we can have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for your people who took time out to listen to your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus that your blessings will be upon your people as we read your word and digest it, mighty God, that we will bear fruits of righteousness. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and glory as we look to you by faith in no other name but the name of Jesus. And we say amen and amen. God bless you all this evening. Continue to read up in 1 Peter. And we will continue next week in 1 Peter chapter 3, God's willing. Have a blessed weekend. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us in 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.